We are back here for hour number two of the Now program today. Scott Spears along with you. And in about 15 minutes, we're going to be joined by the man who filed his petition yesterday to be the Republican candidate for mayor of Marion this fall, Kevin Norris, current at-large council member. Now, we thank Steve Chafin for coming on last hour. Now, if anybody has any questions or comments about that interview, we have about 15 minutes before we will be joined by Mr. Norris. So give us a call, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Phone lines are currently open. It's an interesting time here in Marion. It's an interesting election year for us because all city council seats are up for grabs. We will vote on mayor this year. We will vote on auditor this year. And we have some people who intend to run as independent candidates. We've heard Ed McCants on this station and 18-year-old Anthony Miller, who at this point I still believe intend to run as independent candidates for mayor, and maybe there'll be some independent candidates for other offices. It's hard to tell. Now, has anybody ever come up with the answer to some of our trivia questions from the other day? I guess we can do trivia here for 15 minutes. Does anybody know what Charlie Evers did at the 2018 Bratwurst Festival during our live five-hour broadcast that left him speechless on the air for about 3 minutes? Has anybody come up with the answer for that one yet? What did Charlie Evers eat at the Bratwurst Festival during our four-hour live broadcast in 2018 that left him speechless for about 3 minutes during our broadcast? 740-383-9944. Another one of our questions the other day that had a lot of guesses was, if you were a student at Taft Middle School, which of course is no longer here, but if you were a student at Taft Middle School before it was torn down, what did you do every morning before school started? If you went to Taft Middle School, if you were a student there, what did you do every morning before school started? We also have the question, who were the three hosts, the first three hosts of the Today Show? You know, the National Today Show program? Does anybody know who the first three hosts of the Today Show program were? Another question we had, for years this tradition went on, I don't know if it goes on anymore, but what did the Harding High School juniors used to do to the Harding High School seniors as they left school on their last day of school? As the seniors were leaving the school building on their last day of school, what did the Harding High School juniors used to do? Does anybody know the answer to that one? 740-383-9944. We've still got the CRT insulated coffee mug, and we've got some extra value meals to McDonald's here that we can give away. Or if you just want to call in and answer the question, we'd love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. Also, we have our presidential trivia, which we do not have the answers for yet. The first question is, what year did Warren G. Harding leave Marion, And what year did he enter the White House? Now, the part entering the White House, that shouldn't be too difficult, that year. But what year did Warren G. Harding leave Marion, and what year did he enter the White House? Just give me 2 years. And the question, which has also had some interesting guests, what did Florence Harding do as First Lady of the United States nearly 100 years ago inside the White House that no First Lady would be allowed to do today? Does anybody know the answer to that one? Now think about the question. What did Florence Harding do nearly 100 years ago as First Lady inside the White House that no First Lady would be allowed to do today? 740-383-9944. If you have a guess or answer to any of those questions, again, we've got the CRT insulated coffee mugs, and we also have the extra value meals to McDonald's. 19 minutes past the hour, phone lines wide open. Kevin Norris, the Republican candidate for mayor here in Marion, coming up in about 11 minutes. 740-383-9944. Now, don't forget about this event. This is going to be a lot of fun. Friday, March the 1st, will be the 25th anniversary of Mary Ellen Withrow, Marion native, being sworn in as the 40th Treasurer of the United States. And we're going to celebrate this in a big way here. We might be getting a call. Let's go to the call. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, Scott, can you call me back when you get a chance, please?
Sure.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
No problem. Bye-bye. Again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. If you'd like to say anything or have any comments, 740-383-9944. And as I was saying, Friday, March the 1st, 2019, will be the 25th anniversary of Mary Ellen Withrow being sworn in as 40th Treasurer of the United States. Now, on that day, myself, Charlie Evers, Terry Tackett, and Sean Kraft will be going to Toledo, Ohio, to the most famous hot dog restaurant in the world, Tony Paco's, to do a live broadcast from 11 a.m. in the morning till 3 p.m. in the afternoon with Mary Ellen Withrow. Tony Paco's has a long tradition of having well-known people, including former First Lady of the United States, Nancy Reagan, actor Burt Reynolds, and actor Mr. T, signing a hot dog bun to be displayed on their walls forever. On March 1st, during our live broadcast, Mary Ellen Withrow will join that group by signing a hot dog bun during our broadcast. Now, you'll be able to listen live at WWGH1071.com or over the air, just like you are now, at 107.1 FM on the dial. Or you can download the free TuneIn app on any mobile device and search WWGH absolutely free, and you can listen to us. Now, you also might want to check out our Facebook page, which is WWGH Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM. Now, we will give you updates and pictures from that event on the Facebook page. Again, that's Friday, March the 1st, less than a month away. We'll be live at Tony Paco's from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. That is going to be a tremendous amount of fun, to be sure. The 25th anniversary of Mary Ellen Withrow being sworn in as 40th Treasurer of the United States. Now, has anybody out there listening been to Tony Paco's? I asked Charlie the other day, and he said he has not been there. I've never been there, so this will be a first for us coming up on March the 1st. Has anybody been to Tony Paco's, and what'd you think of it? 740-383-9944. Now, yesterday we talked about this event, the big Turn Up the Heat event, taking place Saturday, February the 16th, 5 to 9 p.m. at the Women's Club home. It's black tie, cash bar, winner determined by cash votes. The fundraiser will benefit the Historic Women's Club home to replace the HVAC system. Doors open at 5 p.m., $75 per person, non-refundable, and limited seating, and I hear tickets are going well. This includes one drink and a heavy hors d'oeuvres. Tickets are available at Main Squeeze Juices and Smoothies, Byrie's Restaurant, Carol's Jewelers, or by calling the Women's Club home at 740-387-1366. This is the event where it's the dance competition with a lot of our Marion celebrities, like the mayor and Lowell Thurston will be there, so it'll be a big event, plus many others. 740-383-9944. We also have the Child Evangelism Fellowship Spring Luncheon and Silent Auction Fundraiser. Saturday, March the 2nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Doors open at 10:30 for the early birds. Free admission. Lunch is a $10 donation per person. Hundreds of auction items, always something surprising. It will be at the Cornerstone Alliance Church, located at 210 Marion Marysville Road, the corner of Route 4 and Marion Cardington Road. Come and enjoy a fun-filled afternoon and also learn what Child Evangelism Fellowship is doing in Marion and Union counties. All proceeds will go to the local Good News Club, five-day clubs, train lead teachers for placement at a school, materials for lessons, and so forth. If you have any questions or would like a ticket, call Cheryl Lee at 740-262-0939. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, the other day, a couple days ago, you was asking for what Goodwill is out there by Odd Lots.
Yes.
What was in that front of that store years ago? I can come up with Central Tractor parts.
You know, it was there, and we did get the answer. I think it was the day before yesterday. What they did have in there, it was owned by Odd Lots, but they had separated it out, and it was the Odd Lots furniture store.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the answer. That was in there right before Goodwill, when they took all that storage out, and they put all the furniture in that part, and they had their own registers, and they put the doors in there. It was the Odd Lots furniture store.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, thank you for calling in.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. And again, phone lines are open. If you have any questions about any of the trivia questions we've asked, feel free. We'd love to hear from you. We've got about 5 minutes before we're going to be joined by Kevin Norris, Republican candidate for mayor this coming fall. 740-383-9944. Does anybody remember what got Charlie Evers, what left him, rendered him speechless, during our live broadcast of the 2018 Bratwurst Festival, our four-hour broadcast back in August of 2018. What a day that was. The people in Bucyrus were just absolutely kind. I learned what a dirndl was, learned the proper way to eat a bratwurst, which is a bratwurst, a bun, sauerkraut, mustard, and Worcestershire sauce, which that was one of our questions earlier in the week. But does anybody remember what happened to Charlie that left him unable to speak into the microphone for about 2 to 3 minutes during that live broadcast? It was interesting. I remember it well. We have the McDonald's Extra Value Meals, if you know the answer to this, or the CRT Insulated Coffee Mug. All are up for grabs in the next 3 minutes here on WWGH Radio. We certainly thank you for tuning in today. Had a lot of fun with Steve Chafin in here in hour number one, and are going to have a lot of fun with Kevin Norris here in the remaining 30 minutes of the program, Thursday, February 7th, 2019. Year behind, I guess. Certainly can't say a lot of events aren't going on in Marion. Our big event on March the 1st, where we'll be in Toledo, Ohio at Tony Paco's, a place where none of us has ever been. See, I don't even know. I guess they have the special sauce. You get your hot dog and your special Tony Paco sauce and I guess just go at it up there. It's going to be fun because to celebrate with Mary Ellen Withrow the 25th anniversary of her being sworn in as the Treasurer of the United States, you couldn't ask for a nicer person or just somebody who really accomplished something significant. And Mary Ellen, by the way, will be with us on Valentine's Day. Mary Ellen will be our live guest from 12 to 2 p.m. Thursday, February the 14th, and we'll be talking about all things going on in the world and also probably things going on in the upcoming local election. So there's always something to talk about with Mary Ellen, and she's a great lady, and she'll be here next week. And there's going to be another announcement coming up in the very near future regarding Mary Ellen and Charlie and myself and Sean Kraft and Terry Tackett and some people around here. That will also be of note, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. Busy times here at WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. I tell you what we are going to do. We're going to take a quick break, come back with more right after this short but important timeout. It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, right here on WWGH Radio from 12:10 to 2 p.m. Listen to the program for guests like these. The voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid and actress Pat Carroll.
And I think villains are the most fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better?
I guess.
But there is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, ugh, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors.
That?
Because you can pick all the things in life as a human being that annoy you or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean. Most people are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly. And we know that being rotten mean isn't going to get us that. But, oh, villains for actors are the best things in the world to play.
You know, Pat, that almost describes our current political situation in this country.
Doesn't it just? I'd never thought of that, but you're quite right.
Join me Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. We'll take your calls, 740-383-9944. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Hey, Scott Spears back with you here, 31 minutes past the hour, and we're going to spend the remainder of the program today with a gentleman who yesterday took a big step here in Marion. He has been one of your at-large councilmen for two terms, and yesterday threw his hat into the ring to be the Republican nominee for mayor of the city of Marion in the upcoming November 2019 election. In his first interview since making that announcement, we're so pleased to be joined by Kevin Norris. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Scott? Thanks
good.
For having me on.
Good to talk with you. Kevin, how did you come to this decision to run for mayor?
Well, I took a lot of advice from family and friends and the community, and I just decided to run because I love this community. My family and I have had a business for over 40 years. I mean, we're invested in the community. We love it. And I just hate seeing Marion not growing or adapting with the times. And we have a lot of potential in this town, and we just need a new set of leadership to guide us in the right direction. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and bash Mayor Schertzer. I mean, he served the community for over 20 years, and with going into his 12th year as mayor, I just believe he has done what he thought was best for Marion entering his 12th year, but I believe we need a new direction. I mean, he wants to blame Marion's problems on the local funds cuts from the Governor Kasich, which took place around 10 years ago. And, I mean, I agree that hurts the community, but Marion wasn't the only community that received those cuts. That was all over the state. And there's plenty of cities around us, like Delaware, Marysville, Bucyrus, Tiffin, Findlay, and the list goes on and on and on. That's adapted over the years, and they're thriving and growing, and we're just sitting here and staying still. So I just believe we just need a new direction and a new set of eyes in office.
Where do you think Marion needs its biggest improvements?
Well, we really need more better-paying jobs. And downtown is growing, but like I said, it's not growing nearly quick enough. And I believe to do that, we need to create a block grant, start out downtown and build within, and start give a grant program for businesses coming in and businesses that exist to improve, expand, or start a new business downtown. I mean, if we're not willing to invest in our own community, how can we expect people from out of town to come here and invest in it?
Being a council member for two terms now, nearly 4 years, what have you seen? What has been the general attitude on council the last 4 years?
We've had our ups and downs, been some tension, but overall, I think we've worked pretty well together.
What?
Everybody on council is there for this community, I will say that. Both parties, I mean, we're here to do what's best for the community. We just need to work together and move forward.
What are some of the big changes that you want to do when it comes to Marion, if you're elected?
Well, like I said, I want to build up in downtown. I believe you got to build a city from within. You start at the base. You grow it from the businesses that already exist here. We need to meet with all the owners and see what Marion can do for them to help them stay here, expand, and grow here. And we need to reach out and draw new businesses to town, small and big. I mean, any small business coming to Marion should be treated the same as a big business. To me, it's a business. They're creating jobs, investing in the community, and building within. And I like to see us attack the drug problem head on. I mean, I was one of three council members that worked with Chief Collins to get the Too Good for Drugs program in the city schools. And I believe the best way for drugs is preventative maintenance. I mean, you get the information out to people and prevent them from getting started on the disease, and you don't have to worry about healing them. And we also need to work with the judges to stiffen the penalties, make them give longer sentences to these dealers. We got to make the fear in the dealers. If you're going to deal this poison in Marion, you're going to get punished for it. Right now, I just feel like dealers have no concerns of the court system. And I also think we need to get a rehab facility in Marion so we get these addicts off the street, get them rehabbed, and get them back in the workforce, and let them go with the American dream. I mean, that's what it's all about, loving one another. I mean, we're all family here in this town, so we need to support each other and be there with each other.
Being on council, what do you think the current administration's stance has been on the drug issue?
I mean, recently it seems like it's been better. But, I mean, there was several years there where it was, I don't want to use the word lackadaisic, but it took the heroin was a Marion economy signs to kind of get them motivated, I believe. But it seems like since then they've kind of done a better job, but still a lot of work to do there. I mean, the police department's done a great job. I'm not criticizing them at all. I mean, Marmet's one of the most active drug task force in the whole state, so. But, I mean, it's also not the administration's complete fault either, because I think the judges are a lot to blame, because they're not sentencing. The sentences are too light for the dealers, so there's no fear.
And as mayor, how would you be able to work on changing that?
Well, I'd have a meeting with the judges and sit down and ask them, hey, why are you not giving out these, why are you giving out such light sentences for? And try to talk them into seeing the big picture, and had to work together with the police department and them and the prosecutor's office, and hopefully start sentencing these guys to longer terms in prison so there's fear in the streets of dealing this poison. I mean, if you think about it, somebody's dealing heroin and somebody dies from it, that's the same as them pretty much pulling the trigger for them. I mean, it's attempted murder every time you deal heroin, I believe.
Now, our current mayor, Mayor Schertzer, is running for re-election. It would be his fourth term if he was elected. He has been successful, won all three of his elections by pretty wide margins. Why do you think that was, and what can you do different?
Well, for one, I'll give him credit. He's really good at raising funds. His fundraisers do really well, so that's one reason. He usually has a lot more money than his opponent does, which I'm hoping to combat that this year, but we'll see that. And, I mean, he's a popular guy. People seem to like him, but I think people are starting to get tired of his administration and their policies. And with what I hear on the street, everybody's ready for a change, so I'm hoping to be that change.
How, being on council, you've had to work with him personally. How has that situation been?
I mean, we had our ups and downs, like most people do. I mean, we both seem to have good respect for each other. And he's always answered my phone call when I called him, and I've always answered his phone call when he called me. So,
do you think it's a tough road to run against a three-term incumbent?
Well, of course it is. It's going to be a really tough battle. I mean, it's going to take a lot of hard work on my part, and hopefully my campaign team and I will really bust our butts and take the community strong and get our message out there. And that's what it's all about, is change, grassroots.
For somebody sitting at home listening to this radio program right now, what would you say to them about your vision of Marion under Kevin Norris' term as mayor?
Well, I'd like to see, like, start downtown, rebuild it from the ground up. I mean, we'd be a whole new look downtown. We'd look to the future with a plan. We'd have a 5-year plan, which unfortunately we do not have right now. Right now, council, we get stuff dropped on our desks that day. We have, like, no warning whatsoever. We have no plan for what Mayor Schertzer's plans are for the next 4 or 5 years. Like, if you go down to the city of Delaware, they have a plan for the next 5 years, like they're going to attack this certain part of the city, and that's what they focus on, which we do not have. So I'd like to come up with a plan and outline for council and the community what the plan is. We're starting downtown, rebuild, invest, and then move that out from downtown throughout the whole community and reinvest in different neighborhoods. Just rebuild the whole city from the ground up.
There is a lot of question right now. There are some issues in the community, one being the grant that was recently gotten to repair the old firehouse, and then Mayor Schertzer had said recently that he would like to see a new firehouse built. Where do you stand on that?
Oh, I agree 100%. We definitely need a new firehouse. I think we need it sooner than later. This $500,000 grant is great for the community, I mean, for the fire department. But that station is 107 years old, 108 years old. I mean, they had horses in there at one point. So the building is nowhere near what a modern-day fire department needs. The trucks are too big. I mean, if you watch the fire engine back into that building, they have like an inch to get in there. So we definitely need to modernize a new modern fire department. We also really need to focus on combining the Marion City Fire Department and the Marion Township. We really need to take a look at that, save taxpayers' dollars, make the community safer, and give both departments much-needed support and help that they need.
A story that got a lot of news in the last month or so was the mayor's line item veto of the $100,000 from the Marion Municipal Court budget. To my knowledge, that's still unsettled as far as the court order that Judge Ballinger sent over. How did you see that situation?
Well, to me, I was really shocked at it because the mayor and them did the budget. They bring it to council. We passed it, and then he vetoes it. So he had to approve that at one point before he brought it to council. So to me, it was really shocking that he'd veto the $100,000 out, and then not only take the $100,000 out, but spend it immediately and put it in the police department, which was kind of a political move myself, because if you didn't support it, then you're not supporting the police department, which we do. I mean, I want to hire, that's part of my agenda too, I want to hire a new policeman and a new fireman, both. But as I said, with the $100,000, we should have held on to that $100,000 until it was determined whether the court will get it back in the lawsuit or not. But since we got the grant from the fire department, that money is there to replace the $100,000 in case the court, which I've heard is going to get that money back here in the next few weeks. So that money was there in the budget, so we went ahead and passed the budget for the city, for the police department to hire the new officer. But we're still going to pay that $100,000 back to the court here in a few weeks, from what I hear.
So it's you hear that the judge is going to get her court order approved?
Yes.
And where will the money come from now that we've spent it on the new officer?
It's going to be in the general fund portion that was set aside for the $500,000 repair to the fire department. But since they got the grant for the fire department, that they will no longer need the money to fix the fire department.
You know, when somebody hears a situation like that, approving a budget, taking the money out of the budget, spending it, as you said, immediately, and then it looks like it is going to have to be paid to the judge anyway. That sounds kind of cumbersome, I think, to the normal person listening. Why do you think that happened?
Well, honestly, it's election year, and he wanted to look good to hire a new policeman, I believe. But that's my opinion.
When did the mayor realize that you would be running against him? Did you have a conversation with him at any point?
No, I've still never spoken with him about it. I'm sure he found out yesterday when everybody else did.
You know, it's interesting. We talked about this on this station. In the last 3 years, since 2016, the last time the mayor ran was 2015. Since 2016, when there have been contested races in the county or the city, only one Democrat has won in 3 years, Sheriff Bailey. What do you chalk that up to?
I just think the community's ready for a change. The Democrats have ran City Hall for years, and I think everybody's just ready for a different point of view, and I think President Trump's kind of helped too.
Now, you are a business owner in the community. What are the struggles you face being in Marion?
Can't really say. My family and I have been blessed with our store. I mean, our customers are like family to us. And I mean, some of the struggles is the drugs. I mean, I have a lot of customers that struggle, addicted to drugs. They poor. A lot on welfare. They have a hard time getting a job because of their drug problems. And they just need help. I mean, we just need to help them get off the drugs and back into work, let them live a clean life, a healthy life.
You know, I think a lot of people would say, if they were asked how we solve these problems, I think one of the reasons they say we can't solve them is because there's not enough money. Where does the money come from, in your opinion, to solve a lot of these problems?
Well, we got to reach out from state funds, from federal funds. I mean, you're right, that's going to take a lot of money for those drug treatments. But there's supposed to be initiatives. I mean, Senator Portman, he's been a blessing to this disease, this problem. And hopefully he will help funnel money to Marion to help us attack this problem.
Now, you've ran campaigns before, but running a campaign citywide for the highest office in the city, what kind of year do you see this being?
Very, very busy. Not a lot of free time. We're going to be hitting doors anytime I'm away from my business, and we're knocking on doors, taking phone calls, doing interviews. Anything we can do to get our message out there. Hopefully gain support and ask for everybody's vote this November.
How did your family feel about you making this decision?
Well, they were really excited. I mean, we talked about it several times, several days, hours and hours of conversation, with not just my family, but my close friends, and we're all excited for the opportunity. I mean, not very many people get to run for mayor, so that's really, really humbling.
Obviously, you will be running on the Republican ticket. How has the Republican Party taken to the idea?
Excitement there as well. I mean, we've had a couple meetings and had one tonight, actually, at 6:30 headquarters. If anybody out there would like to join our campaign, everybody's been really, really excited, blessed, and like we're ready to roll. Not only for myself, but Robert Landy, he's running for auditor office, too, so we're all really excited about that, too.
That's interesting. We learned that yesterday that Robert Landon, the current First Ward councilman, will be running against Kelly Carr, who's the current city auditor. Now Robert Landon's running there. What do you think is because this is kind of unprecedented in a way that people are leaving their seats that they hold to run for other office. What do you think has spurred this?
We're ready for a change. We both want to take Marion in a better direction and get it moving along faster and growing just like our cities around us are. I mean, there's no reason for Marion should be sitting in the stalemate that it is. I mean, we have access to the railroads north, south, east, and west. We've got the airport, highways running all over the United States. I mean, we're right here. We're a gold mine just ready to take off.
You know, somebody asked me about that the other day. There was talk at one point about an airport terminal. Has anything happened with that?
No, that's been put on the back burner as far as I know.
What?
Hasn't really been discussed in a while.
When city council does meet, what are the big issues right now in February of 2019?
Right now the biggest issue is the court, the $100,000 deal. Like I said, I've heard it's coming back to council in the next few weeks to more than likely have to refund it. So.
When?
And then there's been talks of building codes and I guess but the building codes have been put on the back burners too. Right now there's legislation to make contractors register with the city of Marion.
It is interesting because we're learning more about this $100,000. And when the mayor was on, I think last month he was on, when this all was happening, he said that council did have a chance to overturn his veto. Why didn't council overturn it when they had the chance?
We didn't have a meeting scheduled, for one. And for two, I think everybody was just in shock and didn't know what to do. I mean, he caught everybody blindsided by that veto. But like I said, he did it when we didn't have a meeting scheduled, and so we didn't really have time to even veto it.
So when you say there wasn't a meeting scheduled, there was people would have had to have come in and they didn't know about it?
Right. Well, a lot of us didn't know about it. Like I said, there's little communication from mayor's office to council. We find out most of our agenda the day we show up to sit down at our seat. And that's one major thing I want to change if I'm elected mayor. I will be transparent with council, and they'll know a week or so, or at least a week in advance of what's going on.
Now, you've been on council for 4 years. Has it always been that way?
Yes.
And has anybody ever... Why is that, I guess?
Well, we ask about it, and we really never get an answer.
It's interesting to learn these things. So right now the big issue facing council is the issue with the municipal court, the $100,000. But there will be money to cover it because the grant was gotten for the firehouse.
Yes.
Okay. Now the general fund, could that go to help build a new firehouse?
A portion of it could. A lot of it's saved up for different departments that they go out of budget, so they pull from the general fund to help support them. But we definitely need to start putting money back for a new fire station.
What is the biggest change you have seen since the council went Republican in 2017?
A biggest change is there's even more closing, like, closed off from the mayor's office to council. It's even closed off even more, so lack of communication.
If you would go, you say the mayor does return your phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
It's just paperwork doesn't come through. Is that the issue?
Yeah, paperwork never comes through. The agenda never comes through. I mean, like I said, most of the time we get the agenda either the day before or the day we sit down.
Really
not much time to get anything to figure out what's going on, really.
As a council member, when you get an agenda that short of time, is there anything you could do? Could you table it? How does the rest of council feel, I guess?
Yeah, we get three readings, but a lot of the stuff is emergency stuff. I mean, like, something happens at the garage, they need a new truck, or something breaks down, it's got to be fixed immediately, so we got an emergency clause that's straight through. But most of the time, there's three readings on ordinance.
What do you think the purpose of this is?
What's that?
To handle things that way from the mayor's office.
I'd say, I guess that way he can control the agenda more.
You
really have time to speak out against it.
It's interesting. As I say, the Republican Party of Marion certainly has made a lot of strides in the last few years. All commissioners are Republican now. City Council is a majority Republican. Do you feel, with yourself leaving the at-large seat and Robert Landon leaving his seat, that the Republicans will be able to keep that majority this fall?
Yes, I do. We have some new candidates running in place of us, and we have a good ticket this year, and I believe we can win all of the races.
When the city of, a lot of people want to feel good about Marion, just the feel good about where they live. How can that be done from where we are now?
Well, I mean, we have a lot to be proud for. I mean, we have a huge, rich history in this town. I mean, if you think about it, there's only been 45 presidents of the United States. One of them's from Marion, Ohio.
That is true.
Mary Ellen Withrow, she's the only person ever to hold treasurer seats at the local, state, and federal level. We have the power shovel was huge in building the Panama Canal. And it built the crawler. NASA would never be able to get their shuttles out to the launching pad without the Marion power shovel. ConAgra is the home of the, and the Wyandotte popcorn, we're the home of the popcorn in the whole world. Whirlpool is the largest dryer manufacturer in the world. Nucor Steel is Ohio's leading rebar and signpost manufacturer. I mean, Marion has a lot to be proud of. We just need to come home and agree as a community, get behind Marion Made, and just start building our downtown up and our community back up. And just, we need to take pride in our community. We need to love each neighbor, support each neighbor, and if you see a neighbor in help, you need to help that neighbor. I mean, we go back to when the Colonials first moved here, they helped each other out. It wasn't all for one. It was everybody. And like John F. Kennedy said, that's not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. That's the same as we need to look at this city. We need to, what we can do to make our city better. We need to work together and just build upon that and just grow.
We talked earlier on about the fundraising aspect of it. What do you feel is the biggest thing you will have to overcome? What is the biggest issue you'll have to overcome to become mayor of Marion?
Well, funding is going to be a lot. We got to get our message out there, and it takes money to do that. So I just got to hope I can get some people behind me. They'll donate some funds to my campaign, and we're going to have several fundraisers. And I mean, that's going to be a big challenge because he's got a huge head start on me on that. Last I knew, he had over $30,000 in his campaign fund, and I think I'm sitting at $1,500. So. got a long ways to go.
There are two more questions here, Kevin, and I appreciate the time. We have heard from two independent candidates, and this is a kind of a unique thing, who plan to run for mayor. They have not done so yet, filed their petitions, but they have until May, one being Ed McCants and the other being Anthony Miller. What's your feeling about them being in the race and how that might change the dynamics?
Well, that's the beautiful thing about America. If you want to run for office, you just grab some petitions and get signatures and you're on the ballot. So if you want to change this world, that's what you do. You can't change it from sitting on your couch. So I have more power to them. If they want to run, I have no problem with it.
With 90 seconds left, people will have to make a choice. When we walk up to that that voting booth in November, we will have to check one way or another, being a citizen, a voting citizen of the city of Marion. What is the difference between the way things are now and the way things would be with you? What would the change entail?
The change would entail a lot of growth really fast. Like President Trump says, make America great again, we're going to make Marion great again. We're going to build it from the downtown out, and it's just going to be thriving. Everybody's going to be a lot better jobs here, more opportunity. Like I said, we're going to tackle the drug crisis. We're going to get these people a second chance at life. We're going to get them clean and back to work and just build this community up one street at a time.
Being a businessman, before we go here, being a businessman, do you think that gives you an edge, and if so, what way?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, you got to run a budget as a business owner. And one thing you learn as a business owner, if you're struggling, the last thing you do is add payroll, which unfortunately the mayor's office has added several positions, not just local low positions, but high-level positions that have huge salaries. And at the time when he's always saying we're broke, that's not the best time to be putting on more salary. That'd be a huge benefit as a business owner. I know how to run a budget. I know what it takes to run a budget in the black, not red.
Just a for instance here before we go, what are some positions that you would see not to be necessary?
Well, the law director's office was full-time. It was part-time. This mayor made it full-time. I'd make it part-time again if council approved it. I mean, everything's got to be open to council. But then I'd also take the safety service director positions that he's split into two back into one. And I would take a look at other internal positions at the higher levels and see what can be cut out of the budget and what needs to be kept and what can go.
Kevin, I thank you so much for the time today. I know you're working today, so I certainly appreciate you doing your first interview with us. Best of luck, and I hope you can come into the studio and come back with us often as you would like.
Well, sure will. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it, Scott.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Kevin Norris, Republican candidate for mayor. If the petition is certified by February 19th, we'll know that. And Mayor Scott Schertzer is always welcome on this program, as are Anthony Miller and Ed McCants, who have all been here. And anytime they want to speak about something, the door is always open. More programming around the corner here on WWGH Radio. Don't go anywhere. But for this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Donald, how are you?
Scott, how are you?
Doing very well. What a busy week for you, sir.